Can't improve on snot and tears. That's the best you got in the house of God. I guarantee it. You never improve on that. Isn't it good to be saved?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Know Jesus is on the throne regardless of what's going on in the world around us. Some people putting their hope in the Republicans. Some putting their hope in the Democrats. I'm glad my hope's in Jesus. Amen. And right. Although when the righteous bear rule, the people rejoice. Ain't been too much righteous ruling in a long time around here. America. I've never seen anything quite equal it. Well, I'm not a traditional preacher, so you can guess I'm not preaching on Easter Sunday morning today and the resurrection. And I could have probably tracked something down, but I don't believe that's what God wanted.
Amen.
I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter number 1. And when you find your place, if you're able to stand, stand. If you're not, I understand, you can keep your seat.
Amen.
Two short verses. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. I'm sorry. I want to begin reading in verse 5. I apologize for that. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light.
Amen.
And in Him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Amen.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the good song service today, the tears, the joy, the hallelujahs and amens. I want to thank you this morning for people that have made their way to the house of God to honor you, Lord, on this day. We are grateful that you came out of the grave on the first day of the week. That's why we're here this morning. And Lord, tradition has set aside this as the day that you got up, and it may very well be. I don't know the day, but I do know that you got up on the first day, as you said you would. And we're here to magnify your name today, and I pray you'd meet with us. There's been good singing, good fellowship, a good Sunday school hour. We've enjoyed the day. I've enjoyed the morning already being with your people. But now I pray, Lord, for preaching power and for the filling of the Spirit of God in my life. And you've called me to preach. I pray you'll help me to do just that today. And bless me and make me a blessing to your people. May hearts leave here today rejoicing. May souls leave here today that's lost. May they leave here today saved by the grace of God. May your people have a touch of revival, just a little space of reviving. Again, I pray you'll grant us the liberty that we need today to preach your word. May the Spirit of God rest upon us and bless us in thy power with it. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. If you'll notice, the reason I read verse 6 a moment ago, I had it on my heart. And the reason being, that's where I'm going to be drawing the primary thought from today in the message that I want to preach to you. There in verse 6 where it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, the Bible said we lie. And then it said we do not the truth. And I want to preach by the help of God's Word and help by the help of the Holy Spirit today on the thought of lying about the truth.
Amen.
He said, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're a liar.
Amen.
we lie, and then we do not the truth.
Amen.
And so if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and we're walking in darkness, then
Amen.
We're lying about the truth.
Amen.
And so I want to preach on that for a little while. I'll begin in verse 5 and work my way down through verse number 6, and keep your Bible open if you would. I want to preach on that for just a little while. There's three words that are used in the Scripture that tell us something about the nature and the character of God. These words do not define, and neither do they describe a thrice holy God, because He is indefinable and He's indescribable in His grace, in His glory, and in His power. Now, I want to repeat that. God cannot be defined. He is above and beyond being defined or described. There's no way that human heart can reach into the realms of grace and glory and get into the heart of God deep enough to define nor describe God. He's just God. There is none like Him. May I say that? I believe the word could be used unique. Unique means one of a kind, that there's none other like it. And there is none other like this God that I'm preaching about this morning. He is God, and beside Him there is none else. And for you and I to try to define Him or describe Him would be beyond our capability. And ironically, these three words that are used are all used by the Apostle John. John said in 1 John 1:4, he said, and by the way, each one of these, there's a mandate that follows them. And that's what I'm preaching on basically this morning, is the message, the man, and the mandate. And behind each one of these three words, there is a mandate that follows them. He said in 1 John 4:24, He says in John 4:24, that God is spirit. That God is spirit. And then the mandate goes on to say, he says God is spirit, and then He gives a mandate, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's no other way. Our friend the Catholics try to worship Him by praying a rosary, a little string of beads, and they cannot do that. They try to worship Him in lighting candles, and they cannot do that. They try to worship Him in believing in transubstantiation. That is, that the bread that they eat becomes the literal body, the flesh of Christ, and the grape juice or wine that they drink becomes the blood of the Lord Jesus. And that cannot be done. And then there's others. There's even Baptists and probably some here today that try to worship the Lord in some other way besides in spirit and in truth. We try to use that which we see and can tangibly get a hold of to worship the Lord. I want to say it's an impossibility. God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then it says in 1 John 4:8, He said, God is love. And then He gives the mandate. He that loveth Him, He gives a mandate, he that loveth Him and knoweth not God is a liar. It says he loves Him and knows not God. He is a liar. And so God is love. And God expects you and I, by mandate, to repeat that we must love. Hey, come on in the house now. If God is love, they that are saved must love other people and must love the Lord, by the way. And then he gives a mandate here in our text today. He says God is light. And then the mandate, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, here's the mandate, we lie and do not the truth. I want to say today, how many people here today are living a lie? How many people here today are saying that they love the Lord, that they are in communion with the Lord, that they are in fellowship with the Lord, and yet they lie about that and do not the truth? I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that if you do that, you're living a lie. Amen. To tell somebody that we've been saved by the grace of God and we're walking in the light as He is in the light, and we're enjoying daily communion and fellowship with Him, and we're not doing that, we lie. The Bible said that we lie and do not the truth, and that makes us lying about the truth. Hey, and my Bible tells me that all liars will have their place in a lake of fire. Come on, you pray for me. We'll get to preaching here in just a little while. This is the message that we have heard of Him. Now that word connects what's already been said. This then is the message that we have heard of Him. Now, the Holy Spirit has graciously hung the key on the door for us by announcing the theme of this epistle in the opening verses. And it is namely fellowship with God and with the saints of the Lord. That's exactly what he's talking about. If we say that we have fellowship with him and do not do that, then that makes us a liar and we do not the truth. And who is our fellowship with? Our fellowship is with the Lord Jesus, and our fellowship is with the saints of God. Now come on in the house. There has got to be, ladies and gentlemen, fellowship on both ends of the line. And I'm afraid we've forgotten today what it means to commune with the Lord. I'm talking about getting our Bibles out and reading our Bibles and earnestly praying to God and then worshiping Him in spirit and in truth and having communion with the Lord. And then coming to the house of God and having fellowship with the saints of God. When was the last time you really went to somebody in the church and shook their hand and sat down and had fellowship with somebody in the house of God? Come on in the house now. We'll preach a little while here in a minute. The blissful fellowship spoken of is radically different from anything known to natural man. May I say, thank God, I'm glad I can talk to my wife. I'm glad I can communicate and have communion with my wife. I'm glad I can have communion with you and communicate with you. But I'm telling you, to have communion with the Lord is far beyond anything, ladies and gentlemen, that is known to mortal man. It amazes me that the great God of glory would take time to have fellowship with somebody like you and I. We got to realize who we are and where we are and what we was when God found us, to realize the beauty of having fellowship with a thrice holy God that knew no sin, was made to be sin, and died on a cross that He might have fellowship with you and I. May I say, since the world was created, God's great plan was that He might have fellowship with humanity. Oh, and I marvel at how He accomplished that. There was only one way, and that was for His Son to be made flesh and dwell amongst us, and then die on a rugged cross and become our mediator between God and man. Thank God our fellowship is with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ whom He sent, because the only way you're going to get to God is to go through the Son of God. Hey, that's why He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah to God. Now hang right with me. I'm going to have to hurry. The joy which it produces is greatly superior to anything experienced by the senses. Now somebody said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, they tell me that when the Tennessee girls won the national title, they had a hoorah time. And they tell me when the Florida Gators bit whoever they were playing up in Ohio State, that they had a hoorah time. I mean, they thought they were really having fun. But I'm telling you, the joy that is mentioned in verse 4, the joy that is mentioned there, ladies and gentlemen, is far superior to anything that could ever be produced here on earth by the plain common senses of man. I'll tell you, our emotions get stirred up. Mine don't. Some folks do when they get in these ball games or car races. And man, I ain't hit NASCAR in a long time, praise God. I might as well hit it a lick. Hey, folks leave, go to NASCAR races and watch them. And it's, I don't see how they stand it. I'm just going around and around and around and around and around. I'd be drunk just watching them race. But they'll drink their liquor. Think they're having a wonderful time. But I'm telling you, the joy that the Lord is referring to here in His message to us, ladies and gentlemen, is far superior than anything that the senses, the five senses of man has ever experienced here on earth. Amen. I'm talking about sight and touch and feel and all that. Come on in the house. Amen. These fellas I saw on the front page yesterday, they sentenced a fella to 2 counts of child molestation. They thought that was fun. Come on in the house. Thought he was having a real joyful time taking advantage of 2 little old teenage girls and him about 70 years old. But I'm going, hey, he knows nothing about the joy that knowing the Lord. John said, this is the message. And in verse number 3, he refers to fellowship. And verse number 4, he refers to joy. He said, and this then is the message that we have heard of Him, ladies and gentlemen. That we are to fellowship with Him and that we are to rejoice in what God has done for us. Amen. Now I started to say it. I go ahead and said, I think that old man will be took out in a horse whip before he's ever put in prison. And he ought to be locked away so he can't bother nobody else. I hate that mess. And I'm sick of it. And it's going more and more all the time. I've told you this, I'm going to tell you again, I'm your pastor. You better guard your youngin'. You better watch your little boys and little girls. I'm telling you, there are devious-minded devils in the world that would love to get their hands somehow, somewhere on little children. I don't have any love or respect for a moron like that. A pervert. Amen. Come on, these sodomites are just as bad. I don't know how I'm getting off on all that, but I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost is telling me to hit her a lick or two. Amen. And I'd say one thing to the members around here. You come to church, keep your eyeballs in your own head. Don't be looking at nobody else in the wrong way. Amen. When you look at a lady around here, you better be looking at her eyes and not her backside. Amen. Amen. Come on in the house. Praise God, it's preaching time. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the message, it is in no wise carnal, this joy is not, but holy spiritual. It transcends all natural emotions. I've said that time and time again. I'm going to say it again right now. that joy, that the joy of the Lord is not our natural emotions. I've seen men get highly emotional and make a regular fool out of themselves. But I'm telling you, you'll never make a fool out of yourself by worship, and you'll never make a fool out of yourself when you're actually rejoicing in the Lord in spirit and in truth and having fellowship with God. You'll never embarrass yourself. Not one time. Now, folks may thank you. I'm talking about really embarrassing yourself. I'm talking about crashing into other people and one thing and another, running spears through people's eyes and come on in, breaking chairs and breaking. That's right. We had a fella kicked the end of our pew plumb off over there one day. You think God was in that? Emotions. But not joy. Emotions, but not fellowship. This is the message. And John said the message is that we are to have fellowship with Him. And that we are to have joy in what we're doing in life. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Some of you could have some joy right now if you just would. Come on and listen now. Social fellowship, nor religious excitement should be mistaken for it. Hear what it said? Religious excitement or social behavior should not be mistaken for fellowship and the joy of the Lord. Those two things has got to be the message. They're all He's mentioned. That's got to be the message He's referring to. And a whole lot of folks mistake carnal emotions in the house of God for joy. It's not it. Listen carefully. I want to say number two, not only the message. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, the man. Him, the man. Christ came to declare and to reveal the true and the living God. John 1:18 proves that. And here and John, here in our text, summarized his teaching by saying, God is light. Now stay with me, because I'm getting ready to get on the mandate, and that's what I want to preach on this morning. God is light. Listen carefully. This light is available to all. John 1:9 said, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I didn't write that, folks. If you've got a problem with that, take it up with John. He said that the true light that comes into the world lighteth every man. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You'll never die and go to hell, ladies and gentlemen, and then lift you up to judgment bar, accuse God falsely that you never had light to be saved. The Bible said it lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And you know what that light is? It gives you, I believe, when you come into the world, is a conscience that knows right from wrong. That a conscience that knows that there is a higher being. Praise God, the heathens, come on now. The heathens on foreign soil know that there is a higher being. That's why they build totem poles. That's why they offer their own children in sacrifice. Their conscience tells them that. But you know when the problem comes in, it's when somebody's conscience is seared with a hot iron, buddy, they're in big trouble. They have absolutely no conscience at all that there is a holy being that lives above their thoughts and above their ways, that they'll have to stand in front of someday and give an account of their entire life. Anybody listening? He lighteth every man. Somebody say, oh, God won't save me. I've heard God won't save me. I've tried and tried, and I just can't get in. You don't want in. Amen. You don't want to turn loose the old sin. That's why you're not in. Amen. You don't want to turn loose of how you're living. That's why you're not in. Amen. He lighteth every man's soul that cometh into the world. Amen. And if you'll turn loose of that little old pet sin that you've got harbored back down in your heart, you'll get in by the wonderful grace of God. Amen. Amen. Come on in the house. Oh, yeah. We'll get to the message in a minute. I'm still in the introduction. I want to say this light makes it possible for all men to believe. John 1:7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All men. How? Through him might believe. Praise God, not through the waters of baptism like some of this crowd in Madisonville wants to teach. Like the Church of Christ and the Jesus only crowd. They want to tell you got to get in through the baptistry. That all men by him, through him, might believe. Thank God, I'm glad. Praise God, when he died on an old rugged cross, he died outside the camp and made it possible for every old sinner, ladies and gentlemen, like you and I, to come to him in honest repentance and tell him about our sin. Amen. And in love and mercy, he reached down a tender hand of grace, hallelujah, and lifted us from the depths of our sin. I'm going to preach one of these days. I was reading the other night, and I read two or three times the word tender in reference to God. And I'm going to preach one of these Sundays on our tender-hearted God. Do you know God's tender? Do you know He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities? Do you know that His heart can be touched with a cry of a little old repentant sinner that'll call out to Him for mercy? Oh, God is so tender-hearted that sinner cries, His heart is moved with compassion toward them. Now I'm telling you, He'll reach down an omnipotent hand of grace, and with tender hands and loving mercy, God will lift the sinner out of his sin and set him upon something solid on that rock and establish his goings and put a song in his mouth. How many in here this morning can testify to the fact that they were living a life of sin, but oh, one day Jesus passed by. Thank God, I'm glad Jesus passed by my way one day, and the glorious light of the gospel shined forth into my soul, and God brought me out by His wonderful, amazing grace. How wonderful is our God. Bless His wonderful, holy name. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful God. That's right, He is. Now, listen carefully. This is where I'm getting ready to get into starting into the mandate. I ain't got there yet, but I will. That light also reproves evil. John 3:20 said, God is light in our text. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. You know why some of you drop your head this morning? You know why some of you go to scratching your chin, your neck, and looking down, looking around? I'm going to tell you, the light's come.
Amen.
And your deeds are evil. Light, listen now, light always exposes sin.
Right.
Oh, yes. Kind of dark in here, ain't it? It's not real hard to see. It's a little foggy. Not real hard to see, but it's a little dark. Got a few lights still burning. We could turn the rest of them off. Nobody's ever set in outer darkness. But I'm telling you, there's an outer darkness. Praise God, it's a coming someday. I'm telling you, you better make sure, rather than fleeing from that light that reproves your sin, you better lay hold of that light that it might forgive your sin. Because mark her down, that light is either going to reprove your sin or it's going to forgive your sin, one or the other. One or the other. Turn that light on back there, Josh. Praise God. Thank God, Brother George. Blink like that. That light does something to you. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when the glorious light of the gospel hits your old darkened heart, it's going to do something to you. You know what it's going to do? It's going to reprove your sin. You know why some of you get ill when I get on rock music? Because you're listening to it. You know why you get ill when I get on television? Because you're watching. You know why you get ill when I get on country music? Because you're listening to it. You know why you get ill when I talk about dope and stuff? Because you're playing with it. Come on in the house. Amen. It's preaching time. I'm telling you, light reproves your sin. And you will not come to the light, lest your deeds be reproved. That's why when folks get under deep conviction, they'll do one or two things, in or out. Now, I hate to say it, but more than I'd like to see get out rather than getting in. I'm going to say to you this morning, this light will never hurt you. Praise God, this light will help you. That's right, it'll break that old habit in your life. Hey, that's right. Amen. You won't be near as interested in television. You get right with God. You won't be near as, come on now. You won't be near as interested in DVDs if you get right with God. Amen. You won't be near as ill in the house of God. I'm going to tell you, if you get, hey, let the light reprove your deeds and get thoroughly right with God, you can come to church and cry like Sister Hall did, and cry like Sister Woodard did, and rejoice like some of these men did, and lift your hand like some of these ladies did. But it takes somebody that is right with God, that are fellowshipping with God in communion, and know what the joy of the Lord is all about. And they've come to the light, and the light has reproved their sin. Hey, that's the only way you'll ever get saved, is get your sin reproved and get your sin forgiven by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, that light reproves evil. Men love darkness. Did you know that? Rather than light. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because our deeds were evil. Love darkness rather than light. Now that's hard for me to understand. Hey. You ever been out in the woods by yourself at night? And it's dark. Can I say something to you? I'm not afraid of darkness. But I'm afraid of what's in it. You ever crunch down through, some of you men crunch down through the woods early in the morning going to that deer stand? And you just wonder if that bobcat may be easing along behind you. Or when you start up that tree, you wonder, I wonder if that stinking bobcat has climbed up here and got in my deer stand already and taken him a snooze. And you can say whatever you want to say, buddy. Bobcat, you forget bobcats and anything living or walking on two or four legs. And you walk down through the woods in the boonies by yourself at night, you get an eerie feeling. I've come in this church before and turned out the lights up front and walked out this back door, and walking from there to there, the hair raises up on the back of my neck and my goosey bumpers raises up. Yes, sir, buddy. Somebody said, are you afraid of the dark? No, I'm afraid of what's in the dark. Now I'm telling you, the devil is the prince of darkness. Amen. And brother, I'll tell you, whether you're in darkness in your lost life, he's there. And if you're living in darkness in your living life, he's there influencing you and leading you along. Amen. Oh, brother. Men don't want to come to that light because their deeds are evil. Now, I want to come to the mandate. The mandate is very, very long, so stay with me. The mandate is that if we say that we have fellowship with him, it's got quiet. Don't bother me a bit. And walk in darkness, we lie. Amen. And do not the truth. Come on now, wake up. How many people in here this morning are How many people in this morning are telling me that you're in fellowship with Him, but you're still in darkness? I mean, you're outwardly telling folks, oh, I'm in fellowship with God. But you know in your heart that you're not. That you know that you're in darkness. I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're lying about the truth this morning. You are a liar this morning to say that. Now, I say that in love. I'm not saying that chatty. I'll say that in love. It makes us all a liar. Amen. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and do not,
amen,
then we lie. And that's right.
Amen.
And we're living a lie. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Here in verse 6, John is not referring to the unregenerate as such, but to the unrenewed, to the professed, who boasted of their communion with God. In other words, John is not referring to that guy down on the bar stool. That'll tell you right up front he's lost and going to hell. John is talking about that crowd that gathers every Sunday morning in the house of God. And they made a profession of faith in Christ, but they don't possess anything. They're lost and on their way to hell. And they're telling everybody by their coming to the house of God that they're in communion with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. I'm telling you what they're doing. The Bible said if you say that, you a lie and do not the truth. John, that's right. I've met them down the line, folks. I can tell you about some. We had a fellow here that limped. A missionary. And we took him home. I found out a month later that the guy was a Class A crook.
Right.
He stood in our pulpit and told us he was having fellowship with the Lord and was getting ready to go to a mission field. But I'm going to tell you what he did. He lied. And he did not the truth. And he's lying about the truth, and I'm telling you, I'll get to it in a minute. That crowd is on their way to a Christless eternity. They're going to hell without God and without any hope.
Amen.
Now, is anybody listening?
Amen.
Listen carefully. It was not the openly wicked that he had in view, but those who unwarrantably bore the name of Christian.
Amen.
To say I'm a Christian, and I'm not. I want to beg you this morning. Don't sit on that church in that chair in the house of God and say in your heart that you're saved.
Amen.
And you're in fellowship with the Lord when you know deep down in your heart,
amen,
that there's another voice telling you that you're lying about what your heart is telling you. I'm going to tell you, you better believe something beside your heart because it is desperately wicked and you don't know it, ladies and gentlemen. I've heard men get up and say, well, if I know my heart, believe me, they don't. That's why we live by this book and not by our heart. Well, I hope I'm saved. Well, I think I might be saved. There ain't no might be's and thinks about it. No gray area. It's either darkness or it's light. Can you get a hold of that? I'm glad God just gave me that. There's no in-between, neighbor. It's either darkness or it's light. One of the two. There's not. Can't be both. Amen. And if you're in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, next verse, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
That's the next verse.
Amen.
How about it?
Amen.
Anybody in here this morning like that?
Amen.
Let me say again that in our day, there, same as years ago and always has been, there's always been Christian, there's always been in Christian assemblies, those who were born of God, and those who are not.
Amen.
Somebody say, preacher, this is Easter. Why are you preaching this? Because that's what God told me to preach.
Amen.
There's always been tares among the wheat.
Amen.
Those that say I got something and don't have it.
Amen.
That's what John's talking about. lying about the truth. Oh, I got the goods, preacher. Well, I'm going to tell you, we'll find out in a minute. If we got the goods, we'll live a life in like we have got the goods. We'll practice what we say we got. Now, I'm telling you right there is a rule book, and if we're not practicing what that Bible says, we are lying and do not the truth, and we're lying about the truth.
Amen.
Anybody listening? Come on now. I know this is Easter Sunday morning. You're always happy a while ago, and you're sad now. There's always been tares among the wheat. You know the thing about that is you cannot tell. Somebody turn a little air on in here, Brother Doug, would you? It's a little warm in here. Everybody in here knows this, I hope. But you can't tell a tare from a wheat until they mature a little bit. Now I'm telling you, that wheat will mature. And it'll bring forth fruit out on it. But that tare, it'll grow. There'll never be an ounce of fruit. Come on now. And if there's no fruit, there's no root.
Amen.
And those tares will sit alongside the wheat and say, aren't we lovely? We're in communion with God. We're singing the same songs. We're saying the same prayers. We're listening to the same word. Praise God. We're doing all the things that we're supposed to be doing. But the bottom line of it is we're lying and do not the truth. The reason is we're lost and on our way to hell. We've never been to Calvary. I love you, but I'm here to tell you, if all you got is some little old flimsy profession that you made and that's all you got is that little old profession, buddy, it's not what you got back then so much. I'm glad you got it back then. I'm glad you can tell me the time and tell me the place. But I'd rather you would prove it to me by the life that you're living right now.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I mean, there'll be love and there'll be joy.
Amen.
There'll be peace. There'll be long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Amen.
Amen.
And there'll be truth.
Amen.
I'm fixing to share something with you this morning after the service that's truth.
Amen.
I'll let you make a decision on it. And I'm telling you, real Christians don't hide things. They don't hide their sin. They confess it.
Amen.
They don't hide their calamities of life. If they are affecting the body of Christ, they'll confess it.
Amen.
Boy, we having fun today. Praise God, I am. I don't know about y'all. Praise the Lord. Note this now. Lip service must be tested by character and daily life. This was done by a solemn warning against self-deception, insisting that fellowship with God is to be gauged by our obedience and our conformity to God's holiness and righteousness. That's what he's saying. If we have fellowship, if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth if we say we have fellowship with him. And it's got to be gauged. Brother Doug preached this morning on grow, glow, and go.
Amen.
Now, that's right. There's a whole lot of folks ain't growed an ounce. There's a lot of folks that seem to grow and stop. Not be a tear. Not have a tear or two amongst the wheat. Come on in the house. That lip service of yours, God will test. Notice this. John's design in these words has a threefold purpose. When he said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and do and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It had a threefold purpose. Number one, to stir up the saints.
Amen.
Somebody said, how in the world can that stir us up? I'm getting ready to tell you. To stir up the saints themselves and prevent them from being careless and remiss. To walk in the circumspect and to walk in the, a lie and watch on their own hearts and avoid everything which had a tendency to sin. That's what John wrote that for. We're going to have fellowship with God. We're going to have to keep vigilance on our own heart and guard our own life and avoid everything that has a tendency to sin. Now, I'm telling you, folks, don't do that. I'm telling you, it'll lead you into bad problems, Christians. That's why he wrote that in the way that he did. Not just for lost people, but to warn saved folk that they would not get loose in their thinking like I preached on a couple of weeks ago. Loose living in their mind. Begin to allow things they never used to allow. Keep a tight rope on the family. Come on in the house. I believe if a mom and daddy is safe, they'll keep a tight rope on their children. Better believe it. Well, man, I just let them do whatever they want to do. Yeah, one of these days they'll wind up in hell. All the time, young kids. I read in the paper the other day where a boy over around, I don't know, Morgantown, I believe it was, driving a pickup truck and two or three boys out in the road on four-wheelers. Buddy, that pickup truck, it was dark and he didn't see them boys, and they come around the corner too late, laid on the brakes and hit all three of them. Flipped his vehicle completely over, killed two of them. A 19-year-old boy. Don't tell me, ladies and gentlemen. Don't tell me it can't happen. I know better.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, Mom and Daddy, if you want your children to turn out right, you better make sure you keep them on the right road and the right path. Somebody said, well, I can't do nothing with them. They'll leave the house. Let them go.
Amen.
And pray for them every day.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, you cannot condone sin in your family, in your home, and fellowship and commune with God and have the joy of the Lord at the same time He won't allow it.
Amen.
That's how you can rejoice with heartache. I'm going to tell you something. When we had to discipline our daughter the way we did, it broke my heart and I wept every day. But I come to church and rejoiced in the Lord. Somebody said, how can you do that? Because I was right with God. That's right. Because I was right with God, that's how.
Amen.
John wrote this to stir you up.
Amen.
To keep vigilance on your own heart. And then he wrote it too, to convict and undeceive the deluded, that the ignorant and erring might discover their perilous state and flee to Christ for a real work of grace to be wrought in them.
Amen.
That's right. To convict. Buddy, I'm going to tell you one thing. There is not enough conviction in our Baptist churches anymore.
Amen.
Son, I'm telling you, it still takes Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you the only way to get it is through prayer.
Amen.
And preaching and praising God in the church.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, men, hey, we got to learn to pray.
Amen.
Praise God, we've got an antenna laying on the ground up here that would probably cost us new if we had to buy it $30,000. We don't have it.
Amen.
Well, Bill, right now we're struggling with, and we're in the hole in the check. We're trying and struggling. Now, I'm telling you, one reason is because the church as a whole has lost its burden to pray and carry the load.
Amen.
I wonder how much of a burden we have about the ministry here. Oh, somebody said, it'll come in somewhere. Oh, yeah, it's not you that worries about it. That's the problem. The whole burden is laid on the man of God and one or two people around the church. If I find out that we got to pay for that, you better hold on to your horse cat, because I'm going to call church-wide prayer meetings and we're going to pray. And if I have to, you have to leave on your own. If you leave, I'll keep you here all night until we pray. Somebody said, I wouldn't do that. Jacob did. Amen. Not this one. He probably needs to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Talking about he done this to unmask hypocrites. That's right. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We're a lie. Do not the truth. We're lying about the truth. Pulling the mask off of hypocrites. Now notice, in Scripture, a man's walk refers not to any single act or even habit, but rather the general tenor of a person's behavior, a regular course followed by a man. And he said, this is a message that we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We say that we have fellowship with him and walk.
Amen.
There it is. And walk. Is anybody listening? Everybody quit. And walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. A man's walk reveals the state of his heart, being a practiced expression of what he is. Your walk in life, what you practice in life,
Amen.
Is an expression of what is really in your heart. That's right.
Amen.
Come on now. You've quit me. You might as well. Go on. To walk in darkness is to order our lives in opposition to the revealed character and will of Him who is light. More specifically, to walk in darkness is a condition of the unregenerate.
Amen.
May I say to you, if you're walking in darkness rather than in the light of God and you're lying about having communion with Him, the Bible declares that you're an unregenerate person.
Yes.
Come on now, I'm hurrying, I'm going to finish. To walk in darkness is to be under the curse of God.
Amen.
When Christ died on the cross, what happened? There was darkness over the earth. That symbolizes that man is under a curse. And until God saves you and brings you into the light, and you walk in the light as He is in the light, I'm telling you that curse is still on you. You know what it means to be cursed? God cursed Cain.
Amen.
You know what He said about the curse? He said, it's more than I can bear. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be people that's cursed, die and go to hell, that are going to look up toward heaven and say, it's more than I can bear.
Right. Amen.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you, when the Lord cursed Cain, He sent him out from him.
Amen.
No more fellowship with God.
Right. Amen.
No more communion with God. A vagabond and a stranger. Walking in a wilderness as dark as the pitch.
Amen.
Without God and without hope.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'll have friends out there. I don't know if he had any.
Amen.
If you think there's going to be friends in outer darkness, you better read your Bible.
Amen.
Why don't you flee to Christ this morning?
Yes.
Some of you in here, some of you in here are saved, that I believe with all of my heart. But you really ain't been in communicate with God for so long you don't know what it's like.
Amen.
You've forgotten the joy of Him touching your heart.
Amen.
You've forgotten the happiness that it brought you.
Amen.
You've forgotten the liberty that you had in life. You floated on a cloud. Now you seem like you're carrying the world. I'm going to tell you why. It's because you've lost that fellowship. And some of you, it's lost. It's telling us every Sunday you still got it.
Amen.
And some of you in here under the in that darkness because you're lost.
Amen.
And that load hangs upon your shoulders.
Amen.
Oh, you're walking in darkness. You're like a blind man.
Amen.
You have no direction.
Amen.
And unfortunately, nobody to guide you.
Amen.
And nobody to lead you. But oh, happy day, happy day. Somebody can help me right here. Oh, happy day when God brought us out of darkness into light.
Amen.
Praise God and give us a Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us along the way. Amen and amen. Thank God, and they that walk in light shall never stumble. Hallelujah, but shall have the light of life before them. Bless His wonderful name. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Old Brother Andy walked in darkness every night and stumbled in on that bar stool. But he drove up one night, sat there in that car and like Paul on the road to Damascus. A light shine round about him. Woo!
Amen.
He looked at that beer joint and said, great day in the morning. What am I spending my life in a hole like that for?
Amen.
When I could be at home with my family doing
Amen.
Things for the church,
Amen.
Living for God, walking in the light, going to heaven
Amen.
Someday. I'm not going to hell, praise God, I'm going to glory.
Amen.
And besides all that, every day of my life, if I want to, I can sit down and talk to God and have confidence that He hears every word that I say to Him.
Amen.
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 The only thing that will hinder that is we don't confess our sin. But if we confess our sins, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we can talk to God with assurance that God hears every word that we say. For His ears are attentive unto the righteous. Amen. And He listens when we call. When was the last time you called on God? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. I'm about ready to have a shouting spell. Amen. Praise God. Thank God. I once was in darkness, but now I'm in light. Woo! Holy Ghost, turn the lights on. Amen.
Amen.
I couldn't see, but thank God I can see where am I going now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the light is well lit up along the way.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you know, Lord, Brother Hope? Well, the Bible said His word's been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. Woo! Glory to God, His light lights up the pathway. And Brother Doug, it makes the pathway glow. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. Knowing Jesus makes the pathway glow, friend.
Amen.
Friend, hello, friend. Amen. Praise His wonderful name.
Amen.
About to have a spell up here. About to have a running fit up on this mountain. Amen. Some of you's covered up now. That's good. It's cold a while ago, hot a while ago. I can see the droop. But it woke some of you up anyhow. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
To walk in darkness is to be under the control of Satan.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 26 and verse, I believe I wrote 18 there. He said to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God.
Yeah.
Woo! You realize when you're in the darkness, you're under the power of the devil?
Yeah.
Oh, happy day, happy day, happy day.
Yeah.
When Jesus rolled my sins away, thanks be unto
amen.
God. Amen and amen. I'm no longer under the power of Satan. But I'm about three-fourths tipsy on the Holy Ghost of God. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. Praise God. I believe I can have a shouting spell. Some of y'all help me this morning. Amen. I remember where I was, just an old drunk. Praise God, spending every penny I had on Friday night and going home Saturday morning broke and didn't know how I was going to live the next week. Hallelujah. Stealing kerosene by the gallon jugs, fool, just to try to keep warm. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you what a God we got.
Amen.
One day God passed by my way.
Yes.
Amen. And that great light of the gospel shined in my heart.
Hello.
And I looked in my heart and said, Lord, is that me? And he said, that is you.
Yes,
and I thought, how ungodly can a man be? And he might even ask a question, would you like to see more? And I said, God forbid, that's enough. He said, would you like to leave that light there? Well, I would, Lord, but I don't want to look at that. All you got to do is ask me to forgive it and it'll be gone. Y'all get a hold of that. I said, I believe it will, Lord.
Amen.
And guess what? In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Praise God, what light had exposed as sin and ungodliness was gone.
Amen.
Amen. And the load rolled away and the burden was lifted.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you now. And then Jesus whispered in my ear and he said, now I've got a question I want to ask you. Now that I've made space in there in your heart, how would you like for me to live in there?
Amen.
I said, Lord, you mean you would live in my heart where that sin and ungodliness used to live? Oh, yeah. He said, that's what I do for sinners that I save by the grace of God.
Amen.
I send my Holy Spirit. And He lives in there. And I said, but Lord, you didn't show me the rest of my heart. What about all that other stuff that's in there? He said, don't worry. He'll take care of that.
Amen. Amen.
We don't conquer the land all at once. We get proud.
Amen.
Conquer a little at a time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We're not perfect yet, children.
Amen.
May I say, there's, and I won't say this, I've got it written down if I can find it. My mind's so foggy now, I don't pull up and find it or not. But I might be able to. I've lost it. I don't know where it's at. But I'll say this. I'll just put it this way. There's never been a soul that ever walked in that perfect path who did not deviate from that path of righteousness. That's why I put that there as a warning, as I said a while ago. All this crowd is telling you that you can live sinlessly, perfect, have no sin at all. They're liars and do not the truth. There's only been one. If I could be perfect, I would not have needed a perfect man. You want me to show you how imperfect some of you are? If you do, raise your hand. I'll come back there and bust you upside the God-given head and see how perfect you are, buddy. See if you don't get inflamed in your heart. You may not strike back, but I guarantee you, you'd get inflamed in the heart. Now, to walk in darkness is to be completely under the domination or dominion of sin. Completely. For he says in the Scriptures in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Why, Brother Hall? For you're not under law, but under grace. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
I know, now listen carefully. As the best fruits of grace are produced by the Spirit in the heart and are known and valued only by the Lord. The Lord's the only person who can look in your heart.
Amen.
He is the only one that can know.
Amen.
The real fruit that is in your heart. And with indwelling sin, its principal and vilest productions are not seen by our fellows. I want to say something to you. I think it's sin to listen to country and rock music. I think it's sin to smoke dope.
Amen.
I think it's sin to burn our eyeballs out every night watching television. I think it's sin to be disobedient to that word. I think it's sin to lay out a church. I think it's sin to lay out a Sunday school. I think it's sin to let our children run wild. I think it's sin to look at other women. I think it's sin to commit adultery. I think it's sin to commit sodomy. I could go on and on and on. And every one of those are evidenced outwardly. And I'm telling you the real problem. We see all that. But only the real problem can only be seen by God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And if you think that's bad, you have seen nothing yet to what God sees in there.
Amen.
When a man, see, these preachers are talking, well, I don't think sinners are depraved like you all think they're depraved. Like God's the only person that can touch them. I'm going to tell you what, buddy. They better get their eyes open.
Amen.
A man that can go to bed with a dead deer and kill a horse just to go to bed with a dead horse, that man's depraved.
Right.
That is getting in the depths of the heart. We ain't touched the iceberg yet, ladies and gentlemen. But God sees all that before it's ever brought forth. And I'm going to tell you, mark her down, there's more in that man's heart that's never been seen by mortal man.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. You walking in the light? Are you having fellowship with Him? If you walk in fellowship, if you walk in darkness and say you have fellowship with Him, you lie and do not the truth. You're lying about the truth. That makes you a liar. Let's stand together.